Welcome to Unjaded. I am so excited to have Juliana here with us today. Juliana is first and foremost a student of life, rhythm, and magic. She's a psychotherapist, a mystic, a philosopher, a dream worker, and a guide. She's also a fellow human design specialist. We were actually in Karen Curry Parker's year-long mastermind together, coach mastermind. So we trained together to be human design coaches. And she helps clients weave their past and future into the present so that they can experience the truth that they truly are powerful co-creators of their reality. And Juliana is a projector, which I love. I know that as a listener, you want to hear more about projectors and the projector experience. We have Juliana here live to talk about that and all of the magic that she weaves into her life. So welcome, Juliana. I'm excited to have you here.
Thank you so much, Vicky. I'm super excited to be here.
So I am noticing that you are showing up a whole lot more online. For a little while, I know that you were traveling for a little while and you had some really mystical experiences there. And now you're back in Canada. And all of a sudden, I'm seeing you everywhere online. Every time I turn on Instagram, I'm like, oh, there's Juliana. So can you talk to me a little bit about that? What's happening for you?
Yeah, when I was in Mexico, Mexico is a very magical country. I was in the center in the mountains of Mexico, and I experienced a lot of deep connection with the land. We were in mountains of quartz and amethyst, and then I was in mountains of copper. And I had these very synchronistic experiences where I met medicine men and medicine women. And part of my experience in Mexico was the returning to the truth of self, the truth of other, the truth of what we're here doing on this planet. And social media has been something that I think a lot of us actually feel this way, that it's like there's an aversion to it. Mm-hmm. And what I realized in my time in Mexico is that I realized this true idea of being of service, and that what I came here to do in this lifetime, in this body, my soul, was to be of service. And I realized that I need to then put myself out into the ethers and allow those ethers shine that lighthouse, that projector lighthouse that's often referred to as being a projector, so that people can actually find me. Mm-hmm. And so that's how come I'm starting to show up on Instagram more. I will be posting on my YouTube again very soon as well, and sending out my newsletters a little bit more so that I can just shine that light and be of service to the planet at this particular time.
And it's beautiful the way that you serve. I was searching on your website. I think it was last night. I was searching on your website and I downloaded the meditation. Thank you for that. So it's beautiful the way that you're showing up and serving. But lots of times what we would hear from projectors is, I can't because I'm tired. And I'm always like fighting back on that. It's like, you're not called to be tired as a projector. You're called to be rested as a projector. So you talk about how rest looks different for projectors and maybe for each projector, you know, one from the other, how it looks different. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So I think there's a journey that happens with projectors once we discover we're projectors, because the level of burnout that can really like hit to the level of like, it's like into our bones, into our cells, when we realize how actually tired we are. Mm-hmm. And what my own personal experience, and then what I've also seen in other projectors, is then the bitterness gets really big. That bitterness gets really big because it kind of feels, for myself, it kind of felt like I was ripped off. I was like, I've been ripped off of my life because I didn't know all of this. And I discovered human design 2018. And I really needed to get really radical on what rest meant to me. And I really needed to reconcile that bitterness of feeling like I was ripped off, like all of the conditioning that I experienced. And I don't know if all projectors experience that, but I know I did. I was angry for a while, you know, it's like, and then anytime I would try to share what that meant, people didn't get it. And so I really needed to recognize what rest meant for me.
And what does it mean for you? What does rest look like for you?
Rest means tapping into my own cycles. So I love looking to nature for our reflection of how we're meant to live as humans. And nature goes through spring, summer, autumn, and winter. And so do we as humans. There's just been this conditioning of disconnection that we're, you know, designed to be like manifestors, initiators, just go out and do it. Right. And so I look to nature for that reflection. And then I ask myself, well, what season am I currently in my life as a whole? What season am I in? Maybe I'm in spring, right? Maybe I'm in winter. And when I'm in winter, because I've just come out of winter, I tap into bear energy, Mother Bear. And I'm like, what does Mother Bear do during this time? She sleeps. She nurtures herself. She moves slowly. And then I go deeper into my own menstrual cycle. And I ask myself, what part of my menstrual cycle am I in at this time? And I have found, and this is newer for me, but I have found that tapping into the different hormones that are happening in my body is, it's like I'm accessing some magic potion, because now I know with the first bit of my cycle, I can get shit done. Mm-hmm. And so I lean into that and I allow that to happen. And then I know in the last bit of my cycle, it's more my own personal winter and I'm going to rest more. And that has really helped me to avoid burning out in my business.
Because I think that people think that burnout is something that happens once, but they don't realize, like, I mean, I had to go through it 3 times in my life and I'm a manifesting generator. I think that once we've been through burnout, we are more susceptible to it again, because we don't do that winter season. We don't take care of ourselves fully. We just kind of, I'll heal a little bit. I'll watch a movie or something for a week and then I'll be good. You know, I'll chill and I'll watch Netflix for a week and then I'll be good. And we call that rest. And then we get up and we start all over again and we don't change anything. I want to ask you just one question about the cycle thing, because this is a fascinating thing that I find with my clients. So I'm emotionally defined, and a lot of my clients actually are emotionally defined as well. And I find that the root pulse, which you have a defined root, the root pulse and the emotional wave and the cycle work together. Do you find that your root pulse and your menstrual cycle work together?
I've never thought of that before, but now that you're saying that, yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's totally, so interesting they do. How it all layers on each other. I always think that the universe wouldn't be too cruel to have us be, you know, root pulse off and menstrual energy on, or vice versa.
Totally.
You know? So it's interesting how it works together. So I just want to backtrack for a second to the bitterness. Because a lot of my listeners are kind of resistant to the bitterness word. It seems like, well, I don't want to be bitter. Like, the last thing I want to be is bitter. I don't want to be accused of being bitter. And I noticed you use the word angry as well. Sometimes I find resentful sits a little better. But what is bitterness to you? What does it actually feel like as a projector to be bitter?
When I first heard the word bitter, I was like, oh, that makes so much sense of how I feel. And I got an image of like an old angry woman with her cheeks pulled in and her lips pursed, staring out her window. And I was like, that's what bitter feels to me.
They don't resonate. It's like, they don't want to see that, right?
Maybe. Yeah. It's a shadow that is not, that's not the loveliest to look at, right? It's like the old woman who's locked out the world and is just peeking out, thinking how like awful everybody is. And that's how my bitterness creeps in. My bitterness starts to come in. And it's like all of my heart energy falls away. There's nothing left. It's like all of the juiciness that I love about life and love about other people falls away. And it's like everybody wants something from me. That's mm-hmm. how my bitterness shows up. Everybody wants something from me and I have nothing to give.
Yeah. So is there a way that you can make it okay? Like, are the people in your life understanding that, okay, I don't have anything to give right now?
Yeah, I've trained the people in my life. So when I discovered human design, that was one of the first things that I started doing was I started sharing about how my energy works. I started saying, hey, I don't know if this resonates with you, but I'm a projector in human design, which means I don't work like you, which means my energy is sensitive and I need more rest. And now I would say all the people in my life understand that about me. And so if I am working on a big project, if I am at a certain part of my cycle, my nearest and dearest to me understand that. And they, if I say, I'm sorry, I don't have space today, they totally get it and don't take offense to that, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if you're a projector and you're listening to this episode, I want you to take note of that phrase, even if you have to go back a little bit and re-listen to that part of the episode where Juliana said, I don't have space for that right now. That is completely, and I think no matter what our human design type, that is a phrase that we should all be using more. I don't have space for that right now. I'm at capacity, because any of us can be frustrated or angry or bitter or any of the things. So we need to be understanding of ourselves. We can be so much more understanding with the other people in our life when they need space, or we give them a pass if we're, oh, well, they're probably tired. They're probably, they do so much, but we don't think that about ourselves, right?
Yeah.
So you do a lot with magic in your world.
Well.
And you have fairy guides.
Well.
I was watching one of your oracle pulls on YouTube the other day. It was so fun. So can you talk to me about how all of this started? Like, why magic? Why is that the thing that draws you? Where does that come from?
It's been in my life for as long as I can remember. Magic has been... I mean, it's like that childlike essence quality that we all have when we're kids. It just never left. I have memories of my mom holding me up against the window and like talking to the moon when I was little. There's a deep connection to nature, which is where I believe we can see the magic in the mundane so easily as humans when we look to nature. And this comes through my lineage, my great-grandmother, my grandfather. I often say magic saved my life. And that is because my connection to the fairy realm, my connection to the crows, the Garry oak trees here on the West Coast, they, during my time when I was a teenager, I was very depressed. I attempted suicide. It was that connection that made life worth living. When everything felt dark and nothing made sense, it was the way that the raindrops sparkle on the branches of the trees. It was the way the birds swoop through the air. It was the hummingbirds. It was the idea of looking into the trees and going, elves and fairies live up there, and gnomes live in those little crevices in the bottoms.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was much later that I got into etymology of words. I love the root of words. And I discovered that magic comes from the Proto-Indo-European word mag, M-A-G-H, or in Dutch you would say mok. And it means power, to hold power. And I truly believe that when we can see the magic in the mundane out in nature, when we can see the magic in ourselves, that's an invocation to calling back our power. Because our world pulls out magic out of us so quickly. I think it's one of the fastest conditioning that happens as children is, no, that's not true. No, that doesn't exist. No, that's not realistic, right? Sends us right up into our head. And if we can reclaim magic in our lives as not something that just exists in Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings, if we can reclaim it for ourselves, we take back what is ours, what is our birthright.
Mm-hmm. And what would you say that birthright is?
To be the co-creators of this existence, to be the co-creators of our life. We are not victims to our circumstances. We have so much freaking power inside of us, and that's our birthright, to create a life that we want to live, which then ripples out and changes the world.
I'm here for that. That sounds absolutely incredible. I think that we need a lot more people willing to step into their magic and change the world. For sure, for sure, for sure. So you said that you never lost touch with your magic. Is that true? That's a generator style question. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
But never, 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 never.
I mean, probably when I attempted suicide, I gave up. But the way that I look at it is, it's like Persephone, the myth of Persephone. She's the goddess of the underworld and the goddess of spring. And some mythologies talk about how Hades dragged her down. I don't look at the mythology that way, because there's something that is so necessary for us to go deep into the depths of our pain, into the depths of hell, in order for us to see the blossoms, the trees, to bring back the light. It's like we talk so much in the gene keys and in our gates in human design about the shadow expression of that gate. And that shadow is here because we are living in these third dimensional forms that wants to live, right? So it's going to do anything to survive. And that survival in itself is a gift. So we've developed all of these ways that we cope and avoid and strategize to keep ourselves alive. That's brilliant of the shadow to do that. That's so freaking brilliant, right? And so that shadow is so necessary for this experience in this life. And so while I may have lost moments of it, it was the magic that kept me going. It gave me purpose. I have this memory when I lived in Vancouver, right before I discovered human design, where I was walking up. It was like November, rainy Vancouver weather. And I was walking up West 10th, and it was after a brutal, brutal relationship breakup. And I was coming back from the library, and I was just like, what's the point? And then I heard this voice in my head that said, look up. So I looked up, and there in the pouring down, freezing cold rain, this little hummingbird sitting on a Japanese maple branch, twittering away that you have to tune your ear just perfectly to hear. And it's like those moments have happened to me regularly in my life that just go, when I just start to dip that low, it's like, no, wait, look.
And I think those moments happen for all of us, but we are so conditioned not to see them. And I notice that you're pointing to your right ear. You and I share that gate 57 of the right ear. And I feel like so many times I hear something in my right ear. And it's just like, you know, there is that, but we're, like you said, when we're kids, we're so conditioned away from finding solace in nature, from our imaginary friends, from the magic inside of us, all of those things. But I would venture to say that every single person on this planet has some sort of an intuitive nudge like that to bring them back to their own magic, whether they're listening to it or not. You talked about the shadow, and I love the way you talk about the nervous system, because in my health background, we've talked about self-sabotage. And I hate that term, because I'm always like, no, just stop for a second and thank your nervous system for trying to keep you safe. Thank that shadow side, because that's all that our bodies are ever trying to do, is to keep us safe. So if we could start to look at all of these behaviors as a clue that, oh, okay, I'm feeling unsafe right now. And you do a lot of work with the nervous system. I know you have a background in psychotherapy, but I think you've moved away from that now, right? I mean, it will always be there, but I'm practicing more in this other world. Mm-hmm. So can you talk to me about the work you do with the nervous system?
so much teaching. We have to understand that our bodies, they're like working 24 hours a day around the clock to keep us alive without us having to think about it. The autonomic nervous system is constantly going. And there's so much conditioning in our world that vilifies the body, that shames the body, that it doesn't look right. It's not, there's pain in the body, whatever it might be. And so first, I really like to do some very basic nervous system teaching around like why your body is communicating to you the way that it is, what it's, how it survives, what the fight, flight, freeze responses may look like individually, because what it might look like for you, Vicky, is going to look differently for me. So we have to be willing to first explore that piece. Everything comes back to the body. Your body is giving you, just like you said, like hearing from the ear. That's the senses. It's a higher expression of those senses, but it's still the senses. The senses are picking up and communicating to us all the time. And because we live so much in the head and we're cut off from our bodies, we take little niggles in the back, in our backs or in our guts as just being something, and we completely ignore it. And so my work starts with really getting into, well, what do you notice in your body when you're talking about that? Like right now, I'm noticing in my body that I'm kind of vibrating a little bit. In my solar plexus, there's like, there's more vibration, and my heart's beating a little quickly. And that's because I'm a little nervous because we're having this conversation. You're asking me questions that I love to talk about, and my body is going to have a response to that, right? We don't have to be cool all the time and collected and like, this is like, I am, you know, sitting on a mountaintop completely calm all the time. No, that's bullshit. Our bodies are going to have responses to things, and we need to start looking at them and recognizing them. So I do a lot of work of what's your body feeling right now? Like, I know if my lower back starts to twinge a little bit, it's because I'm either eating too much inflammatory food or I haven't rested enough. And so it's like, okay, lower back. Thanks, lower back, for telling me this. Right?
So many people are out of touch with their bodies. I know, especially when I work with a generator type, so generator or manifesting generator, and they have no idea what sacral energy feels like. And it takes sometimes months and months and months for them to message me and be like, oh my gosh, I felt my sacral today. And it's like, holy cow, here's this thing, your compass that is meant to guide you through all of your life experience, and you can't even feel it because you've been conditioned away from trusting your body. Like it's tragic how we used to teach kids, as in us when we were kids, not to trust our bodies. It's changing now. And then I think there's also a real acceptance of feeling badly all the time. Like people expect that as they get older, they're going to be in pain or they're going to not enjoy the things that they once enjoyed. And I call bullshit on that all the time. But I think it's just that we're unaware. Like we just don't know what feeling good feels like anymore. We've tuned ourselves out for way, 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 way too long.
Totally.
You and I had a conversation about, I think you call it non-linear movement. This is one of the modalities that you practice. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, that non-linear movement was founded by a woman named Michaela Bohm, and I've trained with her. And I'm just going to talk about my nephew for a second. He's turning five and he's a manifesting generator. And I remember, just back to your sacral for a second, because this feels super important. I remember being at my brother's house and he was asking my nephew, what did you do with Oma yesterday? Right? This open-ended question. And my little four-year-old nephew, Atlas, like just a blank stare, right? What did you do with Oma? What kind of question is that? And then my brother said, did you make something with Oma yesterday? And Atlas goes, huh? And then runs to the freezer to go get these popsicles that he made. Yeah. That to me is the sacral. Yeah. It's like just this instantaneous. And it's at that age where we start teaching our children to say, yes, please, no, thank you, that it takes them away from that.
I'm just going to refresh this for our listeners, okay? Just in case they're not remembering. So what Julianne is talking about is that as generator types, you're going to respond best to yes or no questions. So have the people in your life ask you yes or no questions. Open-ended questions are really hard for us. Multiple choice questions are really hard for us. So it's not for your child. Do you want eggs or a bagel? It's, do you want eggs? And then, do you want a bagel? And then, so you let them answer from their sacral. Same thing goes for you. You don't want your spouse to ask you, would you like to go to the pub, or would you rather have Italian, or would you rather have Chinese, or would you like, no, you just need a yes or no question. Whereas when you're speaking to someone who is, we call non-sacral being, so reflector, projector, or manifester, they need the open-ended questions. You may have noticed me apologize to Julianna a few questions ago because I asked her something that was a yes or no question. And it's going to be a lot easier for projectors in your life, manifestors in your life, reflectors in your life, for you to ask them open-ended questions. But for your sacral, you want to ask one thing at a time in a yes or no manner. So yes, and you're right, Julianna, because I have grandchildren. And now we have one manifester that was just born. Colby is a manifester, but everybody else is manifesting generator or generator. And it's so interesting how I have to stop myself continually from saying, adding the please on, right? We have to let them have their sacral sounds. And it's so weird because it's not polite. They're 3420. So they're like, yep, nope, yep, nope. Now Sawyer she's almost four. And she'll say after a few breaths, thanks anyways. You know, she says nope. It's anyways a few breaths later, but it seems like such a little thing, but it is the biggest thing to condition a generator type away from their sacral response. Anyway, I do want to talk to you about being a 3-5 profile as well, because that's her profile. But we'll go back to where we were before we started on that tangent.
Yeah, that is such an important one. I tell all my clients that like let your kids not say please or thank you.
Yeah,
yeah. And this is where nonlinear movement comes in. So one of the biggest conditionings that I've experienced and that happens in our world is this specific way to move the body. And I've got, part of my background is in yoga. And yoga was very, very beneficial for me to heal anxiety, depression, and really come back into myself. But yoga is very disciplined in nature. You breathe in, your arms go up, you breathe out, you fold over, you breathe in, you do upward dog, and so on. This has its place. But what's happened in this is that we forget that our bodies actually know how to heal themselves. I mean, they're like beating our hearts all day long and breathing when we don't actually think about it. And so nonlinear movement is an intuitive movement practice. It is literally spending time with your body and allowing it to move however it wants. So there's a few different ways that you do this. Is you really want to get access to your spine, because our spine is the central channel for our vagus nerve. So everything that our vagus nerve is picking up in the senses is coming through the spinal column, going up to the brain, round to all of the front of our chest, into our guts. And that spine, our spines from sitting all day, from doing things, our spines are not well worked. They are not as fluid as they can be. So in order to get full access to the spine, we practice on the floor. This is not done standing up, and you start on your hands and knees. You then choose music that has no lyrics. So just instrumental music, because lyrics will influence what you're thinking about. They will influence what you're feeling. And then the third thing is you close your eyes to limit the amount of input that your brain is further taking in. And you can start this practice. It's super simple. You pick a song, 5 minutes minimum, and you play it, and you start on your hands and knees, you let your head drop, and then you move your body however it wants to move. There are no rules other than keep your eyes closed, stay on the floor. You can sit down, you can go onto your back, you can be on your side, you can stay on your hands and knees, just don't stand up. That part, there are no rules. You can do whatever you want. When I run these groups with people, they come up to me afterwards and they're like, well, what was I supposed to do then? I'm like, whatever your body wanted to do.
but we don't know. We're not in tune enough with our bodies to understand what our bodies want to do.
Well, yes. Yeah. Yes. So that nonlinear movement practice is one thing that I love to give my clients to do. And I hold group sessions and I also do them in one-on-one with people.
And do you do them online or just in person?
I do them online. Yeah.
Okay.
And sometimes in person, but mostly online. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. So we are going to have Juliana's contact information in the show notes. We're going to switch gears a little bit. And this is kind of a personal thing that I want to know because I think it's super fun is your 3-5 profile. So my granddaughter Sawyer, who my listeners hear about constantly, is a 3-5 profile. And so is my son Samuel. And I think that you guys get a bad rap for one thing. And I see her. She is the craziest child I have ever known. I ran a home daycare for 10 years and had, I don't know how many kids through here. And she's the craziest one of all of them. Like she is so full of life. She's a 3420 manifesting generator and 3-5 profile. So talk to me about being a 3-5 profile. How has this played out in your life? That's a big question, I know, but like.
No, it's a great question. I love talking about 3-5 profiles. I love 3-5 profiles because we look like unhinged to people, I think.
That's the perfect word, unhinged.
Yeah. I remember when I was 37, I counted how many jobs I'd had in my life, and I'd had more jobs than years that I'd been alive. That's one way that my 3-5 plays out. And it's not because I wasn't good at the jobs. I worked with this catering company once to get a driving catering job. And then they were like, well, we're also hiring for an office manager. And I'm like, well, I can learn how to do that. And then I learned how to do it. And I'm like, okay, I'm bored. I don't want to do this anymore. I got what I needed from it. And I leaped to the next thing. This happened in hotels that I worked in. I would go from being a staff cafeteria attendant to a breakfast cook to a mini bar attendant to a guest service agent to a waitress, like with like one thing after the other after the other. And before I knew what a 3-5 profile was, it was kind of like, why am I bored? Why do I get so bored? And I realized that it's like I go in, and I heard Richard Rudd describe it this way once, and I love this. 3-5 threes, we go along life, 3-5s, but this 3 line, and we come across a hole and we're like, ooh, what's down that hole? And then we jump down the hole and we go, well, that's not nice. And ooh, that's really pretty. And ooh, that's crap. I don't want that. And then we pop back out again and we go, guess what I found down there? And then we keep going to the next hole or the next mountain. And that's what life is.
I love the way that you describe it. And for 3-5 profiles listening, or for third line profiles listening, I want you to hear this, because, and you come back and you say, look what I experienced, look what I found. And I think this is the missing piece, because third line profiles have a lot of shame around their life experience, a lot of shame around, oh my God, like I always say, they run fast and break things. And they just feel so much shame around it. I worked with a 3-5 manifesting generator yesterday. And he is so afraid to make mistakes. And my heart is breaking for him because I'm like, oh my God, buddy, you're here to make mistakes, which isn't really a very popular opinion, but it's like you have to make those mistakes to learn so that you bring what you've learned to everyone else. That's the gift of the third line profile. But there's so much conditioning on that third line profile. And, you know, someone might look at you and say, well, she's a projector. She should be solid. She should be just focused on one thing. I hate that should word, but here you are having this third line life experience.
Yeah, it is so heartbreaking when I see people who are afraid to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. And I say, go practice it in the kitchen, because I will never cook the same thing. Even if I have a recipe, I will try to follow the recipe as closely as possible. And it's never the same, ever. And it's because I go, oh, what would it be like if I do this? Or, oh, I don't eat that much ginger today. Or I'm going to double the ginger today.
And I love that, because you are a projector. And that's not what we typically think. So this is where I think we have to really look at that. We can't say, well, she's a projector, so he's a manifester, so she's a manifesting generator. So it's so nuanced. Like, your human design is all of the pieces of your chart that make you you. And yeah. Anyway, labeling is another thing. Maybe that's a conversation we'll have another day about labeling, but the nuances are so important. Mm-hmm. So how are you using your 3-5 profile in your business?
So this is where I really had to reconcile with myself, because I have done so many things in my life. Mm-hmm. I spent over a decade in deep yoga study. I have been a dream worker since I was 11. I remember filling out journals of writing my dreams down since I was 11 years old. I've been doing that my entire life. I have gone in to study shamanic journey work. That was only for a year. There's the 3-5 going, ooh, that was only for a year. So how do you know you're actually doing it? You need to do that deeply, right? I worked in forestry. I was a forest technician. I flew around in helicopters and hiked in the middle of nowhere. What I discovered from that was the depths of how our ecology influences different things. So the soil type is going to dictate what trees grow. The trees are going to dictate what undergrowth is there, what type of animals live there. And I use that now in my work around connecting to the trees. I always say I wanted to hug the trees rather than like lay them out to get cut down. I wanted to do that more. And so I bring, like, I've trained in emotional freedom technique, the tapping, right? I've been trained in all of these different modalities, and I've really had to reconcile with myself that that is exactly what I'm here to do as a 3-5. And when I work with my clients, I will pull out things that I haven't used in years, because suddenly they're sitting in front of me and it's like, I think I know what'll help. And a girlfriend of mine said this to me once. She's a manifester. She's my birthday twin. She said she saw me walking in autumn in Vancouver ahead of her. I was wearing a long, like, trench coat. And she was like, oh, Julie, you're like this camouflaged witch that moves through the forest. And inside this trench coat, you have all of these treasures. And only when someone sees you, right, being recognized as a projector, then you open your trench coat and go, oh, I know what can possibly help. Do you want to try this? And that really helped me take all of these things that I have spent pretty much my whole life gathering into what I then offer my clients. And I say to people, it's never, never, ever the same. Mm-hmm. For one, it's never the same.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. And I feel like for our listeners, not only will that be oftentimes the projector experience, but it'll be the second line experience very much as well. I'm a second line profile. And there's so many things. And I mean, the whole world wants you to niche down. Episode 40, which is a couple of episodes ago, you can go back and listen to that if you want. It's about niching. And I feel like this niche conversation, like, I just want to like put a plug in it and throw it over there, right? Because there's so many of us that niching down is a really, really hard thing to do. And by the time you are in your 40s and 50s and beyond, you have gathered so much life experience. And if you do not bring that to your work, it's a disservice to your clients. Like, you're not serving them well if you're afraid to pull this thing out of your trench coat, right? And same, you know, for second lines, they need to be called out as well. They need to be recognized. What's being recognized in you? Notice those things. Those are your gifts. And it's really, really important that we share our gifts. Speaking of, you have a gift that you're about to share. I think you're launching a program coming up very shortly. So can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yes, I sure can. Called Unleash Your Magic. And it's a 4-month portal for the wise and wild woman who's ready to step out of the shadows and dare to shine. And we use what I call the magic codes to access your internal power, to heal self-doubt, to learn how to trust yourself so that you can create the life that you want. So you can truly embody the oracle that you are and step forward as you co-create with the universe. Mm-hmm. And the magic codes that I draw on are rhythm, soma, which is our body, energy, which is where I lean into human design, sovereignty, and magic, of course. Mm.
It sounds absolutely life-changing. Mm-hmm. I noticed on your website, there is a place there for Magic Code. There's a lot of information on your site for someone who wants to go in and kind of play around and see. There's a free meditation there that you can download so you can get a little bit of a taste of Juliana. Yeah, and we will have all of your info in the show notes. So we'll have information on how to reach her on Instagram. Her YouTube channel is robust. Her website, all of that stuff will be there. But you tell me, Juliana, what is your favorite place? Someone reaches out to you on what platform and your heart sings and goes, oh, yay, I get to have a conversation here. What's your favorite?
On my newsletter, I send out, I love to connect with people in my newsletter. I send out a weekly newsletter that I call The Magic Of. And then we find magic in whatever it's kind of like story time. And I always love it when the people who read my newsletter reply and tell me what it inspired in them.
Okay. And we'll have that linked in the show notes for you so that you can get on the email list. I love email too. I just feel like it's so much more, I feel like I'm talking to my people rather than, you know, like on social media where you feel like it's just going out into some void. So yes, we all do social media, but the email is really a beautiful thing. So anything else that you would like to have our listeners understand or know about connecting with their magic, their human design, any of that, their projector experience before we close?
It's an experiment. So Vicky will tell you something. I will tell you something. Someone else will tell you something. And it's your experience to determine what is correct for you or not. I remember being in a yoga gathering where my yoga teachers brought their teacher from India. This 80-year-old man came from India and sat with us. And I remember him saying, he looked out at us and he said, don't just trust me that this stuff works. Go and do it yourself. And I think that is the best wisdom that I've ever heard. And it really works well for a 3-5 too. 3-5, that was like permission granted, right? To go and try it yourself. And our world is constantly telling us, you should do this, do this, do this, do this. And that's all great. But your discernment, your ability to determine whether something is correct for you or not is through your own experience. If you spend your life trying to decide that, living in your head, you're just going to spin in your head. Go out and see how your body feels when you're doing that. And then take it as information. I still initiate sometimes, right? And then I go, oh, I initiated. Okay, cool. Well, that was a different way that I initiated and it felt different that time. There's information for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that I said that you live in clothes, but I do have one more question for you.
Sure.
If you're up for that.
Uh-huh.
Because we had a conversation a while back on Instagram about how you are learning to surrender to the invitation. And I think that this will be very helpful for my listeners who are projectors, who have projectors in their life. What does surrendering to the invitation mean?
Well, so this came from the first piece that I think that we don't talk about enough as projectors is the recognition.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about starting to recognize yourself. Projectors are here to be beams of light. We're here to shine. We're here to just stand tall in who we are. And then like that magnetizes the invitations towards us. But that light, if it's clouded by self-doubt, if it's clouded by conditioning, if it's clouded by a need to like get from someone so we feel better about ourselves, that light gets super distorted. And so one of the best ways that I really found to do this was in mirror work, was to every day I go stand and I look in the mirror and I say, I recognize you for, and I name something. And it might be, if I'm in an energy low, it might be, I recognize you for doing the dishes today. Or it might be, I recognize you for having that amazing conversation with that client today. Or I recognize you for posting a reel on Instagram. Whatever it might be, and it can go deeper than that. I recognize you for walking through your shadows today and sitting in your grief today. And I have found, I heard this, I used to hear this and I was like, I don't know about that. And then I was like, okay, well, let's practice it. And it is actually what has shifted a lot for me is it's like, how can I expect people to recognize me if I'm not recognizing myself? This world is a house of mirrors, as one of my mentors says, right? The house of mirrors. And so everything is a reflection for us to learn from. And so if I'm looking for that reflection from someone to recognize me for opportunities so that I can shine my light brighter in the world, I need to go and stand in front of the mirror and recognize myself.
That might just be the most beautiful thing that I have ever heard in human design.
Cool.
For real. Thank you for sharing that with me. That really is powerful. That hits home for sure. So for our listeners who are projectors, your homework is to get in front of that mirror and recognize your damn self for something. I don't care what it is. Like Juliana said, it could be doing the dishes. It could be doing your shadow work. It doesn't matter what it is. But like, I have tears behind my eyes right now because of how powerful I know that will be for people. So thank you for sharing that with us. I think that's a really game changer for projectors who are listening.
So welcome.
Yeah. And thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, Vicky, for the invitation.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Thanks for saying yes. So for our listeners, I think in this episode, we learned a lot about being a projector. We learned a lot about connecting to our magic again. We know that life is going to kick us around. That's just how it is. We're here to be kicked around a little bit. That's how we learn our lessons, especially for those of you that are three-line profiles or 3-5 profiles. You're going to get kicked around maybe more than others. And tapping into your own inner magic and the wisdom of your body is really your best chance at staying unjaded.